I want to talk about something that I think a lot of women feel, but don't always want to speak aloud. And that's the feeling of being stuck. And it's so not because you don't care or not because you're lazy. It's because something in you just isn't moving. And I know that feeling. I've lived that feeling where you know what you need to do, but even though you've done the hard things, for some reason, you can't seem to do them now. And so, welcome back to the show. Today's conversation is a real one because, like I said, I've had my own seasons in life during my addiction and even after getting sober where I felt stuck and I couldn't seem to break these patterns. And it's so frustrating because on the outside, you feel like you look and feel like you're functioning, but internally, you don't feel like you're fully showing up. You're exhausted and it's like you don't know what to do. And so that's why I'm so excited for this conversation. I'm joined by Christine Shrimp, who helps women break out of these exact patterns. And she helps women start doing the hard things again in a way that actually lasts. And so, Christine, it's so good to see you again. You have your own personal story. I think so many women feel stuck right now. Why do you think that is?
Hey, Lisa, thank you for having me back. I'm excited to be here with you to talk about this topic today because I was stuck in that cycle for 30 years. So I do have a little bit of experience with being stuck. So why is that? For me personally, it was you kind of alluded to it in the intro where I was putting on a mask, and I know the women that I help too. We're so great at wearing masks that everything's fine. Like, everything's fine. I'm good. I'm good. Like, this is just the way I'm supposed to be, right? And we begin making excuses for what is weighing us down or holding us back in life. And for me, what was weighing me down was physically morbid obesity, but even more so than that, it was the emotional weight that I was carrying. Of feeling stuck and not being able to put words to how I was feeling to other people. That's just I never really talked about that stuckness that I was feeling held back in because I felt as a professional Christian woman, high capacity woman, I had a really successful career. Like the thing that was holding me back was my weight and my health, my poor health and my poor eating habits. And so how could I talk about that with people when I'm supposed to be showing up and appearing like I have everything all together, right? So that's for me, that's what it means to be stuck and how I felt for 30 years.
Yeah, it's really, really hard to, I mean, not to mention the guilt and shame you feel, because I can relate to that feeling of, my gosh, I have so many amazing things in my life, but I feel a certain way. I should be feeling so grateful and I shouldn't be feeling this way. And the reality is that there's a lot of people out there who do feel stuck in their own life right now and they feel like they're on a hamster wheel. What does being stuck mean? Like, what does it look like from day to day? When you say you went through it for 30 years, what are those patterns? What do you mean by stuck?
Okay, so I can easily identify with the women that I support because this is my history too. So being stuck day to day for women like me who are struggling with their weight, and it means like every night I was going to bed and I was praying for more self-control and I was telling myself I was going to do better the next day. It meant for me and for the women that I support that we can read ingredient labels, we have meal plans, we know what the right thing is to do, but we just are struggling to follow through. And for me, I was afraid of type 2 diabetes. I had already been diagnosed with prediabetes, but I continued to reach for sugar, despite in the back of my mind, I knew better. And I was still numbing out with food when it came to stress and grief and loneliness. And it wasn't because I was weak, Lisa. This is the important breakthrough that I had that started my journey to help me getting unstuck. It wasn't because I was weak. It was because I actually had a biological issue happening with my sugar addiction. So my brain was keeping me stuck. I mean, quite honestly, that's where I was staying stuck. And as a Christian woman of faith too, I was not, honestly, was not showing up fully surrendering this journey, and giving it to God. Like, I should have known better to do that, right? Being raised in a Christian home, being raised in the church, all of that. But it was all those years, it was something that I felt I had to control in my own power. And so that, all of that kept me stuck. And the women that I coach, we all have very similar stories. That's how we end up connecting, but that's how they're, why they're staying stuck too.
When you say you had a biological issue, can you dig into that a little bit and help us understand what that means?
Yeah. So when I was at my lowest point about 10 years ago, I was at my highest weight and at the lowest point in my life. I was on the side of a mountain in Colorado that I couldn't climb. I was really disappointed and frustrated with myself. It was a fairly moderate trail, so I'm beating myself up. And if you would have walked up to me, Lisa, and told me, "Well, Christine, the reason you can't climb is because you are completely addicted to sugar and high carbohydrates and a poor diet," I would have looked at you like, "What are you talking about?" So I didn't know that I had an active sugar addiction going on. Sugar is very addictive. It's hyper palatable. Your brain wants it. Like, it's that dopamine hit that it's craving. And that really is something that I can see in hindsight was kept me in that vicious yo-yo dieting cycle, because I could do really well on diets for a certain period of time. And then if I followed advice like everything in moderation, I would start slipping and then I would just be set right back in that cycle. So sugar addiction, this is my passion now. I would not have told you that, 10 years ago when you told me on the side of the mountain that I'm addicted to sugar, but it is helping so many women see themselves in a new way and helping them get unstuck and taking that first faithful step to like, oh, I've got some new information. I do have a biological I have a biological issue going on. And so now maybe I can begin this journey of breaking free.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I feel like that mountain for you was such a pivotal moment because I've read your story and you talk about how you're with your husband and you couldn't finish that trail with him and he did it by himself and how that changed everything for you. Why do you think that was such a pivotal moment for you?
In hindsight, I got real with myself. I got honest with myself. And I imagined that, first of all, typically for someone like me who has carried a weight issue for many years, we are our own worst enemies when it comes to negative self-talk, right? So I'm sitting there on the side of that mountain and I am telling myself, well, I bet that hiker thinks that poorly of me, that I should just get up and move more, and then I wouldn't have to sit on the side of the path. Those were the conversations I was having in my head. But then I asked, so began thinking about my mortality, and I was only 48 at the time, and I was thinking, I just can't go on like this any longer because I want to live long enough to meet my grandchildren. I just wanted to stick around. I thought, 48, that's pretty young to be facing your mortality. So I really got serious, and I remember just saying a quiet prayer that, God, I just want to feel better. Like, I felt so bad physically, and I was physically gasping for air at the time because I was in the mountain altitude too, and I was physically exerting myself to a point that I couldn't continue. But I really just wanted to feel better. Lisa, even at that time in my life, I never expected that I would live at a healthy weight again because I was yo-yo dieting for 30 years, which is a very long time. So I had given up hope, but I always had a little mustard seed of hope, right? And so the Lord just met me on that mountain, and I can see his hand over all of it because I got up from that path and I promised myself that when I got back to my home in Michigan that I was going to take ownership of my health. And so that's exactly what I did to help me. That was that very first step that I needed to help me get unstuck with this.
It's so interesting because there's the knowing what you need to do, but then there's the doing. When I was in my own cycle of addiction, it was like I knew what I need to do, but I just couldn't figure out how to do it. And then you keep trying the same things over and over again, and it's so frustrating and it can feel helpless. Like I literally the same way as I'm like, I do not know how I'm going to break this cycle, but I know, like you said, that mustard seed of hope is in your heart and there's something bigger at play. But I also know that when you get out of stuckness, like it's not an easy road. It's just being stuck is like the precursor for like the hard work that comes ahead. So talk to us about what's really happening in that space, that knowing and doing, and then when you finally take action.
Yeah, when women land on my website, the first thing they'll see is I help women do hard things. So I'm really happy to be here to share about that. But yeah, you mentioned like the difference between knowing and doing. So what's really happening is for these women, their brain has been hijacked by this sugar addiction. And somebody listening today might not be addicted to sugar. We could talk about any type of addiction. They might be addicted to social media. That might be giving their brain that hit that it needs. Or they might be addicted to alcohol or drugs or gambling. All of these unhealthy behaviors that we want to break free from, our brain has been hijacked. Addiction is one disease with many different outlets. So hear that. But sugar, particularly, it lights up that reward pathway, just like other addictive substances. And this is science, right? And it helps with our excuse making. We can, again, let go of that guilt and the shame and the feeling like, why can't I get this right? Why has sugar had such authority in my life? Once I knew some of the truth about sugar addiction, that's when I really began to break free. And then, and emotionally too, there's the knowledge, like I know emotionally I should not be comforting myself with food. So all of those emotions have to be processed too in this journey. And then spiritually for me, also food had taken the center of my life. It like had, I say it was on the throne of my heart. And I do say that food was an idol to me. And it was the thing I was turning to before I would turn to God. And as a woman of faith, that's absolutely something I wanted to break that pattern and break that cycle. So for me, it wasn't just about weight. It was really it ended up being warfare and being able to apply the new lessons that I was learning, this path that God was taking me down between the knowing and the doing helped me step out and actually start doing the hard thing.
What were the emotions that were present for you when you were stuck? And what do you think, how do you relate these to the women that you work with?
Yeah, what's really interesting to me is that I love to work with women who I identify them as old Christine. Like they're exactly like me, which is so interesting because I felt so alone in all of those years that I was struggling with my weight loss. And the emotions that I had, of course, were shame. Like I should be able to get this under control, right? I can balance a corporate budget. I can create financial statements. I can have a successful career. My kids were thriving. My family was thriving. Why could I not get this right? And so that piled on a lot of shame and guilt. And then, of course, the fear of failing, right, over and over again, because I had tried so many yo-yo diets and I would lose some weight and then I would gain more back. And I was also afraid of like what my doctor would say. I had a fear of going into seeing the doctor because he would say, all of your health problems, you need to lose some weight. And I'd be like, yeah, I know. Like, tell me something I don't know. So I had that fear as well, too. And then I was chronically exhausted, like an exhaustion, not just physically, but that exhaustion just really weighed heavily on my emotional health and my spiritual health, if that makes sense. It was like I was carrying around this extra, besides the extra 100 pounds on my body, I had like 1,000 pounds of these emotions weighing on my heart and my soul. And then that made me feel very disconnected from a purposeful life, and from God, from myself, like what he had created me to live up to be, like he created me for a purpose. I was just going through the daily grind, like showing up just to get through when I woke up in the morning, the first thing I wanted to do was first figure out what my food was going to be for the day, but then my next desire was to crawl back into bed because I was so chronically exhausted. So I had lots of emotions through this journey, and processing that is like that is just stepping into the freedom. Definitely not going to sugarcoat it. It is such difficult work. It is so, there's like a deliverance in all of this and so much freedom and joy, greater joy in living. So it is definitely worth the work.
Yeah, you definitely sound really passionate about this. And I mean, I could see why going through something like that after so many years of struggling with it and finally breaking free of that, it's like you hold so much power in your hands now. And I can definitely see it in the way that you're speaking. It's like a comfort familiarity thing. I remember when I was in my own cycle of addiction. It was like I was presented with two paths. One of them was the hard road, and one of them was the easy path with the substances that I was addicted to. And most of the time I would say, oh, I'll stop tomorrow. I want to feel better right now. Like, we want that instant gratification. That is such a hard place to be in, because it's like the cycle of crazy. Like, you want to stop so bad, but you can't break that cycle. And I don't think enough people talk about that moment where it's like, even though you know it's so bad for you, it's so familiar and so comfortable that you just keep going down that path until you don't.
Yeah, definitely. When I speak to audiences, I love to leave them with a challenging question. Can you be comfortable being uncomfortable? You know, and that's really what we, especially for Christian women, that is something that we really have to take to heart and really examine. And we don't like to be uncomfortable. Like, and that's not just women, that's at human nature. We do not like to be uncomfortable. So we have to get comfortable and in this journey and be willing to show up and accept this for what it is. For example, the dieting cycle that we're stuck in, we keep repeating the same thing over and over again because it's familiar, right? It's familiar, and familiar means safety, right? We don't want to tip over that cart and become uncomfortable, but really the only place that growth is going to happen is in that discomfort. And so we have to accept where we're at, right? I have been living in a little bit too much comfort, and maybe it will be okay if I take a step out of the comfort zone. And for me and for the women I coach, that means ditching some of the cultural advice that we've been given for so many years, like that everything in moderation and just eat less, move more. Well, that doesn't work so well for insulin resistant women like me, women who have type 2 diabetes, fatty liver disease. Like, everything in moderation, sugar is addictive, and it keeps messing you up, right? So accepting that, learning some new strategies, some new behaviors that can help build some new healthy habits. And I always say that these small habits build and deliver big results. And you're going to begin getting much more comfortable with this new energy you have and this greater joy in living that you have, that you won't even remember how uncomfortable it was.
For sure. So what was it like in the uncomfortable place for you, and how did you remain in it? Because I mean, that's a really difficult place to be. It's like, you know that if you continue, that eventually you're going to feel better, but you don't know how long that's going to take. And so that can be scary because it's like unknown. And also, it's like starting over and building a new routine, like decisions. And so building new habits takes so much energy. And if you're already coming from a place of exhaustion, how did you manage to build that new life, even though you were exhausted? And now all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm going to climb this mountain, and no pun intended either.
Yeah, it definitely is climbing the mountain, right, to better health. And climbing mountains is not easy. And I always remind women, like, you cannot climb mountains carrying heavy chains. So we need to figure out how to break these chains link by link. We don't have to do it all at once. I'm a huge advocate for small habits building, and that's where the big results come in. I don't recommend that women like come to me for coaching on day one and we're going to ditch every single substance in their diet that has some sugar in it. We're going to do a step-by-step approach. And I took this from how I see my journey went, how I feel like God delivered something into my space, like a social media feed or some rabbit hole I went down on the internet, because I got very curious about my metabolic health and my hormones, and I could see step by step how he guided me so that I began taking little actions here and there. And that's what I coach. That's how I love to coach women, because when we start having these little wins, that gives us the momentum, and we can celebrate these little wins, and then we get used to these little wins, and it just keeps us moving forward. Because it's really exciting to start gaining more energy every single day and to start feeling better and to have the realization that our sugar cravings are quieting. Like, it is completely possible to experience that in a very short period of time too. I do coach women through a 21-day detox to help them begin this journey to experience these little wins. You know, it's not going to be perfection in a 21-day period, but it's definitely going to be enough. If they lean in and they engage and they really do the work, they are going to see that freedom begin showing up. And then they're not going to want to quit. Like, don't quit on yourself, because look what's happening. Things are changing. Your brain is quieting, your brain is healing. The weight is starting to shift. You're starting to feel more confident, more energy, and so much more hope. And so that's where I like to begin.
That's beautiful. One thing is that the self-trust. And so when you're in that cycle, you tell yourself you're going to do something and you don't, and then you build this cycle of distrust in yourself. How do you rebuild trust in yourself, and how do you guide women through that now?
Yes. So we talk about this a lot in community, especially for Christian women, because we're supposed to trust God, right? Completely with this. And that is a huge part of it, because God's word does direct us how to care for our health, how to care for our body. Our body's a temple, and there's direction in his word on how to do this. But every promise that we keep to, you know, we make and keep for ourselves is like it begins again, depositing on the positive of things that are changing in your health. And I'm not just talking about your physical health, your emotional health, your spiritual health, it's all growing. So, again, going back to that small steps, you know, and taking it step by step, starting small and just keeping building on those promises that you're keeping to yourself. And then another huge thing in my community is we are ditching guilt and shame to the curb, right? Because we don't need to shame ourselves. And we talk about grace a lot. We have a lot of grace. I talk about we so often women who are type A like me, we feel like we have to perfect the diet, right? Like, we have to count the points properly. We have to measure our calories. We have to do all the things to stay within the lane. And then when we mess up, we just throw in the towel completely. And like, it could be 3 months before we even want to try again. So I talk a lot about how this is not a journey of perfectionism. And for the believer, it is a journey of allowing ourselves to be shaped and perfected by God, right? And that should be our true heart's desire. There is no perfectionism. So grace covers everything we do in my community. And that community really matters a lot, because when you find women who are experiencing the same thing, you can start rebuilding your own self-trust, because you've got a supportive community around you that is lifting you up too. I don't believe that we were designed to do something difficult like this alone. I mean, think of, you know, communities like AA or Celebrate Recovery. That is community driven, right? That's people supporting people. And this is why I think that sugar addiction and weight loss journeys, just, you know, they need community just as much. It really matters a lot.
Definitely, definitely. There's something so empowering for someone when they feel like someone else is going through the same thing. When you find out someone has the same story, you're like, oh my God, now I can talk to you about this. And what about this? Have you felt this way? And it's really nice to connect in that way. I told you a story before we hit record about someone in my city who went through a weight loss journey and talks about her identity to that woman. She still struggles with identifying as an obese woman, even though she is no longer obese and she's very, very healthy. But this is still a real thing for her. She has an like an image issue. Can you talk about that for you, and where in your journey are you in terms of that?
I would say it's getting a little bit easier, but I definitely understand what she's going through because there will be times when I feel like, oh, I mean, even something silly like getting on an airplane and having that little panic attack that I'm going to have to ask for a seat extender again, and then have to remind myself, like, no, I don't need a seat extender anymore because I have stepped into this freedom with my health and wellness. Yeah, but I completely understand. It is an identity shift for sure, which it's a huge part of the process. But also something to be gentle with yourself about, right? And especially for me, like I carried this identity for 30 years. Like I was the woman who didn't want to step into a room of beautiful women because I felt like everybody was looking at me, watching what I was putting in my mouth. Like it was a very insecure place to be in life. And now I know that most people are so self-absorbed that they were not thinking anything about me, right? They were just thinking about themselves. So it's kind of a it's kind of hard to put into words, which is maybe why I wrote a book with 60,000 words in it to try to explain all of this. But yeah, definitely identity shift happened for the better because I realized that I was created for a purpose, and my purpose is to help women step into something really hard and to break free, just like I did. So that freedom and greater joy in living is there for them too. But yeah, the identity is waking up every single day, celebrating this freedom, not waking up with food guilt, not waking up fixating and obsessing about food any longer, and just really fully showing up for a calling on our life. And that's why I coach other women too, because I know God has created them for a purpose and they have their own calling that they need to step into too. So food freedom, it definitely will shift your identity, but in such a wonderful, beautiful way.
And what about the language that you use? Because I know for me, I actually went through those programs with like AA for when I was addicted to drugs. I mean, the way you introduce yourself in those groups is like, "Hi, my name is Lisa, and I'm an addict." I find words so powerful. And so for so many years after I got sober, 10 years after I got sober, I would still identify as an addict. But then one day I got this light bulb moment. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm literally identifying with something that is no longer a part of me. It's part of my past. So how do you choose language, and do you have any tips for women on language that they use? Or what was that like for you?
Yeah, when I first started writing my book, I have it broken down into sections, and I put restored body, renewed mind, redeemed spirit. And I realized that that seemed very final. Like that, I am walking in that. Like, I don't think that I will ever, I don't have any fear of ever living in morbid obesity again. I don't think I will ever return there. But my language now is I say that I am in recovery, right? And I believe this is going to be a lifelong recovery because, Lisa, I have to eat every day, right? So I have to make choices for food every single day. So when as I was writing my book, Sugar Freed, I went back and I changed the section titles to Restoring the Body, Renewing the Mind, Redeeming the Spirit, because it's a process. It's still daily. Every day I have to wake up and I have to make that choice. Am I still going to be in recovery? So I think with addiction, it can be like it can be you can slip into a relapse so easily with sugar. And I want to be very cautious. And this is how I coach my women too. Like it's every single day we have to show up and make this decision. I know it sounds like a lot of hard work, but it is worth it. And considering that we have to make food choices every single day, we have to get into that healthy habit of food that's really going to nourish us and really, help us thrive in life instead of living weighed down and being stuck in that identity that is not serving I was not stepping up to the purpose that God had put on my life, which was is to be able to show up and minister and help women and coach women. So, yeah, in
Yeah,
recovery.
absolutely. I like that. But I mean, let's be real. So what about the hard times? Like what is your advice to women on those hard days? Because for me, I have been, I'll use your terminology, in recovery for over a decade now. But I'll tell you this, on the really tough days where I feel just like helpless and life isn't going my way, I definitely romanticize about, escapism and what it would be like if I could just, oh, just this one time. Like I just want to feel really, really good in this one moment. And I know these quick fixes that will do it. I've never gone that path, but I do romanticize about it. So how do you recommend women deal with those tough days without relapsing, or perhaps you do. How do you get back on the wagon if you do?
Well, one thing is that we have to stay in a safe environment, right? Okay, so there's practical things that we can do to keep our food environment healthy, like not
Right.
have food that we could easily go to the grocery store and fill up a full cart of junk food, right? So just don't even bring it into the house. But it's more so a mindset, right? This is a little bit difficult to explain too, but you ha as a someone in recovery from addiction, you sh might understand this is just living in that freedom. I mean, we've all heard the dietary saying like it tastes better on, it's not on your lips, so it won't be on your hips, something like that. It's like, oh, I have this freedom now, and I don't, if I choose this healthy behavior, these healthy habits, these healthy patterns, then I don't have to worry about this living on my hips, right? For example. So it's just experiencing that freedom daily, celebrating it, and, being thankful for it. Right. I am grateful every single day. I thank God every single day for my healing. I never want to take it for granted. I like to live in the truth of Galatians 5:1 that talks about this freedom that we've stepped into and it's available for us. And I don't ever want to like find myself not living there again because it's just I don't want to go back to where I came from. No, I'm the same Christine, but I'm a completely different person if that resonates. More joy, greater freedom in living, and just a lot more hope too.
Well, this is a tough one. What about if someone is living with someone who doesn't want to change? Say they're living with their family and their partner is so happy, stuck in the cycle of junk food. How do you deal with that?
Well, this is how I approach this with the women that I coach because we, as women, high capacity women, are so used to taking care of other people. And we have to get to the point where we need to prioritize our health. And we can't be of service to anybody if our health is poor, right? So I always encourage them and remind them constantly that when we feel better, we serve better. And it's not about, we have to put ourselves first for a change so that we can step into this, whatever God's called us, wherever He's called us to serve, in whatever capacity, we have to have good health to be able to do that. So keep that in mind, ladies. It's okay to prioritize your health. It is absolutely 100% okay. It's not being selfish. And again, because you can't help others if you can't help yourself first.
I guess my next question then is, how do you deal with like the cravings, or like how do you talk to your partner about it if they still want to have that food in the house? So what if someone is like struggling and they have to see that stuff every single day? Like that would make it more challenging. I know for me, if I was dating someone who used drugs, I would be like tempted to do it too, right? Like it's really, really hard. It's who you surround yourself is the energy that you're gonna get back, right? So how do you handle that?
We do a lot of role playing in our weekly coaching sessions because there are some women that I coach that have husbands that don't, they It's not that they have a lack of respect for what their wives are doing. It's just that they're stuck in their own sugar addiction and they're not
Yeah.
ready to face up to that, right? So we, again, this is where we have to stay very narrowly focused on our needs, and we kind of have to put blinders on to what's happening around us. And we can
Yeah.
do it. I mean, that's another part of the hard part of this journey is having to deal with people. People are
Yeah.
people and people are messy, right? And we want to clean up our own mess. And what I found really interesting too, Lisa, is that we lead by example quietly. And it's been so interesting to me to hear the stories from the women that I coach that, yeah, it took my husband like 6 months to get on board, but he's just now, I just want to tell you, he's lost 25 pounds now, you know? It's just,
Amazing.
yeah, when we're starting leading by example, we don't even have to say a word sometimes, but we do have role playing. We have strategies that we talk about. I also post on social media quite a bit about stop leading my clients down the wrong road. I'm very
Yeah.
outspoken about it. I'm like, look, they are stuck in sugar addiction. They want to break free. So do me a favor. If they tell you no, they don't want a piece of Aunt Margie's blueberry pie, stop pushing it on them. Stop pushing it
Yeah.
on them. So I'm out there advocating for them all day long too.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I was recently in a relationship that my partner loved to socialize and drink alcohol, and I stopped drinking alcohol. And then it forced him to look at his own life, and things got a little messy for a while because he was used to me being a certain way, and suddenly I wasn't like that anymore. So there was a lot of it was challenging energy in the home because I was refusing to do that anymore. So he had a choice to make. And I just let him do his thing, and he let me do mine. And for us, that our relationship came to an end. And that's the reality of it. Sometimes that's just what happens when you choose yourself. But I love how you say that it's not selfish, because I was called selfish a few times by people in my life at that time. And I know now that the reason they were saying that was because they were feeling guilty about their life being challenged, because they were seeing my life changing and me bettering myself, and they were struggling. So, I mean, I think it's just a matter of understanding that so many things can change, but when we prioritize ourselves and our own health, that's the most important thing. Because, yeah, how do you show up for people in a loving way if you're a mess, right?
Right. Exactly.
Affects everything.
We have to be healthy in body, mind, and spirit. I learned also if all of those years that I was yo-yo dieting with standard dietary approaches that we're all familiar with, I never thought to put together my emotional health and my spiritual health with it as well too.
Right.
So here I was just working on the physical, like counting the calories, going to the gym, doing all the things, never addressing the emotional part of why I kept turning to food, and
Totally.
definitely neglecting the spiritual part of how God called me to care for my health. I was completely like, I didn't even want to face up to that because I
Yeah.
knew deep down I knew better, right? So it wasn't until that got real that everything changed. So body, mind, and spirit.
Definitely, there's such a correlation to that. I mean, for sure. When I quit using substances, I was like, then I became addicted to sugar, then I became addicted to other things, but I wasn't using the substance, so that was my justification, but it was still the addiction cycle. We definitely have to face those emotions and where that is all stemming from, because it can be stemming from anything, the way we were brought up, our childhood, generational trauma. And it's so interesting actually to start working on that stuff, because you learn so much about yourself in the process of healing. And that's part of the exciting that's the exciting part of healing, is suddenly you're like, no wonder that happened, or it actually isn't my fault. Like, that was one powerful thing for me, is when I finally understood that it wasn't my fault.
Well, yeah, that was the thing I heard that changed my life. It changed
Yeah.
my health forever, just hearing that this is not your fault because I was addicted to sugar, because I'd been given poor dietary advice for someone with insulin resistance. I should
Right.
not be over consuming any type of sugar. And that means for me, I had to address the bread, the potatoes, the pasta, and that's the
All
type of carbohydrate.
the
Yeah, that's the type of carbohydrate I was actually filling up on. Like, I was not the type of person that would sit down and eat a half a gallon of ice cream or a sleeve of Oreos. My meals, like my dinner meals were, I was filling up on the pasta or the bread or the potatoes before I would even touch my protein, right? And now it's completely flipped. Now I focus on the protein. I fill up on healthy proteins and healthy fats, and I might eat some low carb vegetables for dinner too, but that's like the last thing on my plate that I touch.
Right.
I completely flipped the way I eat, and my body actually craves that nourishment now. So I eliminated the sugar cravings, and I don't miss bread, I don't miss potatoes, I don't miss pasta because now I see what they were doing to my health.
Yeah. And there's so much power in understanding the way the human body works. And especially as women, our hormones are so sensitive, as you know. We go through these weekly phases, and to understand how the body actually works, and then we can choose things to nourish our bodies that actually help enhance our bodies. There's so much power in that. I mean, I never understood any of that stuff until I went down my own recovery path. And then it was so empowering. I'm like, wow, I never understood why, you're supposed to eat these certain foods during this time. So there's so much learning and there's so much power when you know those things about the body for sure. So, Christine, for someone listening right now who might feel really stuck or maybe disconnected, what is one thing she can do today to start doing the hard things again?
Yeah, so I always love to encourage, like, really examine what you're putting in your mouth daily. And you can jot down, like, just think about it, jot it down. Because the first choice that I made was to ditch my creamer in the morning because it was full of sugar, the creamer that went in my
Right.
coffee. Yeah. And so that was the first choice I made because I thought, oh, well, that's the first thing I'm eating every day. So that's spiking my blood sugar right away there. So I ditched it. And that one declaration that I made, like, I'm quitting sugar, I remember the date because it is so meaningful to me. It was March 10th, 2016. I posted on Facebook, I'm quitting coffee, cold turkey, because I like a little bit of coffee and a whole lot of flavored sugar creamer, right?
Or
So I did
like
it.
sugar
Yeah,
coffee.
I did it. So I always encourage women, like, what's one choice? You can make one choice today, right? Just one
Yeah.
choice. Stick with that for a few days and see what happens, and then build on that. Then, like, a couple days later, I decided I knew I was going on this quitting sugar journey. I knew that it had caused my fatty liver disease, my prediabetes, and my morbid obesity. So I was all in it, but I just took it step by step. A couple days later, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to eat any candy sitting around the office. I'm not going to eat pastries that they bring in from the Kroger, pastry sale. I stopped eating the cakes that we had every week for birthday celebrations. It was just like these little things that piled up and really ushered in that freedom and helped me get unstuck. It really helped me. Those little small baby steps helped me get unstuck in this.
Yeah, it's so interesting. We don't even realize how much sugar is in certain things that we're eating. Like, that's so interesting to me that you would start your day with that sugar coffee. So many people are lined up at the Tim Hortons or the Starbucks,
Yes,
and those drinks, like, if you look it up, they have so much sugar in them. Like, I'm talking 3 tablespoons in some of those fancy, expensive drinks, right? So, just one little shift. How did you deal with everyone around you? So, you said you stopped eating the cake, but I mean, you're in an office full of people who usually eat the cake with. So, what was that like?
Yeah, my best lunch buddy was very sad. She was not so happy with me, but she loved me, so she got used to it pretty quickly. And actually, I worked in a really great environment in my corporate job. My coworkers, instead of cake, they started bringing me packages of bacon. No,
Nice.
so they just like they were really cool with it. I worked for a physician organization. They were mindful of health. for the most part, but I think that I had a really good influence on that community too, because eventually the pastries stopped showing up in the coffee room. Eventually my boss stopped bringing in donuts, and bagels and things like that. So I like to say I had a positive influence there, and just I was not, I'm not the type of person that like brings this up and talks about it to get in people's face about it. I would never be like point a finger and say, you shouldn't eat that. I never do that. Never. And just again, that leading by example, that I think that's where the power lies. And people, they'll be curious. They'll be super curious, like, oh wow, what? When you lose a massive amount of weight, people notice, right? And then if they are seriously and genuinely curious, I will have conversations with them if they ask questions.
Absolutely. Christine, you wrote the book Sugar Freed, and you also have your own coaching business. Can you talk to the audience a little bit more of the work that you do? Maybe someone out there is wanting to get in touch with you because they are relating to everything you're saying right now.
Yeah, so I'm the founder of the Sugar Freed Method. And so that's the title of my book, Sugar Freed, Stop Losing the Weight Loss Battle, Start Gaining the Victory. And then I have a full coaching program with the same title, Sugar Freed. And I help Christian women get unstuck from years of yo-yo dieting, right? And I know that they want to show up and surrender this journey, this battle, this warfare, God's way. And so I love to help them do that. I consider it a discipleship journey, like discipline, white knuckle discipline. There's a place for discipline. Like we have to be disciplined to show up and do something like this. But I would love to connect with anybody. They can find me on my website, christinetrimp.com. Lisa, maybe you can drop a link for them to enroll for my next free masterclass. I do a regular masterclass called Quit Sugar in 21 Days, and that goes to that first small step-by-step approach that I talked about. The class can help set them up to do that.
Amazing. Yeah, we'll make sure to have your links in the show notes for everyone so they can have access to that. Do you have any last minute thoughts on the topic today that you want to leave the audience with?
Yes, I think identity is huge. Like I no longer and I no longer want anybody listening to be in that stuck stage with sugar or their weight battle, because there is freedom available. We can choose food from what I call God's good smorgasbord, whole, wholesome, nourishing foods that are going to nourish our body well, help stabilize those hormones, that blood sugar, so that the weight can start shifting off. And, even more so, help clear our minds, and so that we're not carrying this extra heavy weight around, not just physical, but the emotional weight, the spiritual baggage or bondage that we might be stuck in. Step by step, we can get unstuck. I promise you, if I can do it after 30 years of dieting misery, if I can do it, you can too.
I just think you're so brave for sharing your story and for creating this movement and for, being on here and talking about like the real and raw version of you that you don't quite want to remember sometimes. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for helping so many people. Because the truth is there's a lot of people out there who feel stuck and they feel stuck and they feel helpless. And it's people like you who empower other people to take that first step. So again, thank you so much for being here and for sharing so openly. And again, we're going to have your stuff linked in the show notes for people. And I'll grab that link from you later for the masterclass, which is free, you said. And I mean, that's all it takes is it's just a few simple steps and they just start snowballing into healthier habits and a healthier and happy life. So thank you again.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
It's so much fun. And thank you to our audience. Again, we'll have everything linked in the show notes for you. So you too can check out the sugar-freed method and free yourself from these patterns of stuckness. We all go through them. And again, we're not shaming anyone. It does take a lot of patience and perseverance, but you can too get there. So cheers to a healthier, happier life. Until next time, take care, everybody.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.